Hi, welcome to Filled with Messages. I'm Ruth Farrell, and amongst other things, I'm the lead pastor of St. Peter United Church of Christ in Lake Zurich, Illinois. At the end of March is the birthday of Eric Idle. I'd be surprised if you know him by name, but you likely know or have at least heard of his work. Eric Idle was one of the members of Monty Python, the surreal comedy group. Perhaps his most famous Monty Python moment came in the form of a song he wrote entitled, "Always Look on the Bright Side of Life." Here's a couple of its lyrics. Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And then comes the famous chorus, "Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life." And on from there. I particularly appreciate the iteration of the chorus that says, "Always look on the bright side of death," just before you draw your terminal breath. It is important to look on the bright side of life. It's important to look for the beauty and wonder God has placed all around us. It's important to note the moments that fill us with gratitude. But always looking on the bright side is not only impossible, it's absurd and unhealthy. When we force ourselves to just purse our lips and whistle all the time, we are not being honest about how difficult life can be. When we're chewing on life's gristle and don't allow ourselves to grumble occasionally, our frustration, anger, sadness, exhaustion may be suppressed for a while, but eventually it will come out, and often in ways that are much harder than if we had just sat with those uncomfortable emotions in the first place. The Gospels give us a snapshot of one day when Jesus' life was, to put it much too lightly, jolly rotten. It was the day before his torture, humiliation, crucifixion, and death. The weight of what lay before him was unbearable at times. Jesus didn't pretend life was bright or easy that day. But nor did he miss opportunities to celebrate and give thanks. Rather, he found balance. Looking closely at how he managed the stressors of that day can help us better navigate the difficult days and seasons of our lives too. Hear these words from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 12 to 42. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went into the city and found everything as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is the one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though all fall away, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself onto the ground and prayed, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. He came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. Look, my betrayer is at hand. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us. This is a hard text, a hard story. There are some beautiful moments in it, moments that are important to us, but there are also so many hard things too. Help us to find your grace, your peace, your love, your hope, your good news for us in these words today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your eyes, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. While the disciples focused on making preparations for the Passover meal, Jesus was preparing for much more. He was preparing to be betrayed. He was preparing to have his closest friends and followers deny him. He was preparing to suffer. He was preparing to be crucified. He was preparing to die. Well, perhaps you or I haven't had to prepare to be crucified. Many of us have had to brace ourselves for betrayal, suffering, maybe even deaths of various kinds. Jesus prepared himself for all this pain in several different ways. Perhaps one of the most important things he did was spend time with those with whom he was closest. He had a dinner party with them. Eating together with those we love matters. Research shows it's good for our bodies, our brains, our spirits. It strengthens our relationships with each other, makes us feel happier. It decreases stress levels. It's little surprise that Jesus ate a meal with those he loved on such a stressful night. I was recently talking with someone who lives alone and is going through a really hard time. She appreciates her solitude and alone time helps her feel more grounded. But she also knows that too much alone time is not good for us. Right now, it's hard for her to go out to eat with friends, so instead, she's setting up Zoom meals, just like so many of us did at the beginning of the pandemic. While eating together over Zoom isn't quite as fulfilling as eating the same food around the same table with friends, it's helping her manage her current stressors, just like Jesus managed his stressors by eating with friends. Jesus also had honest conversations with those closest to him on that difficult day. No one really wants to have hard conversations with anyone. They're just not fun. But being honest and sharing where we're at is vital to the health of our relationships. Jesus' conversations with his disciples were about some of the hardest things any of us can talk about: betrayal and abandonment. Understandably, the disciples didn't want to hear that one of them was going to betray Jesus and that all of them would abandon him. They got super defensive and started to gaslight Jesus. To be sure, not getting defensive when someone says you're going to betray or abandon them is pretty hard. But being defensive always leads us away from connection and understanding. The Gottman method is a type of couples counseling, but some of its basic principles can apply to all of our closest relationships. The method identifies something they call the four horsemen. Their communication styles, and when these communication styles are present in our difficult conversations with others, they will almost always lead to the end of the relationship. The four horsemen are criticism, in particular, criticism of someone else's character, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. In other words, refusing to engage in the conversation. The disciples more or less engaged in at least three of the four horsemen when Jesus tried to have a hard conversation with them that evening. What might have been different if they had chosen to try to really understand what Jesus was saying? Jesus also prepared for the suffering that was upcoming by participating in and creating rituals. He participated in the ritual of the Passover meal, one of the most important celebrations of the Jewish year. And he created a new ritual when he took bread and wine, blessed them, and passed them around the table, inviting all those who partook the Lord's Supper that night and continue to do so today to remember him. Most of us look a little askance at rituals. Our logical minds can't really see any value in them. Yet we still participate in rituals, sometimes, maybe oftentimes, without even knowing that's what they are. For instance, how many of us always put our left sock on first? Or we cross our fingers for luck, because crossing your fingers is something to do with it. Or we lay flowers at the grave of a loved one so they won't be forgotten. The flowers aren't doing anything. Research shows that rituals are vital to our health and well-being. They reduce anxiety, they connect us with each other, they help us grieve, they help us find meaning and purpose. Jesus spent time with God on that very day too. He was intentional about where he went to do so, a garden called Gethsemane. For many of us, gardens are peaceful and quieter places away from the hustle and bustle of life. I wonder if that's why Jesus chose to go there that evening. He was also intentional about who he took along with him, going some of the way with all of his disciples, then a little farther with a close few, then even farther by himself. Jesus didn't pray traditional prayers that night, although he did it other times in his life. Rather, he just poured out his heart and soul to God. He didn't hold back his anxiety, his stress, his fear. He begged God for mercy. Many of us are a little afraid to be super honest with God about how we're feeling. Maybe we're concerned that it'll be disrespectful, or we're just not used to sharing how we're feeling with anyone, let alone God. But God can take it and wants to hear what's truly going on with us. It's okay to tell God you don't want to. It's okay to tell God you can't. It's okay to tell God it feels like whatever you're going through will crush you. That doesn't mean God will pull out God's magic wand and make all the hard stuff go away. Sadly, although for good reasons, that is not how God works. But while God doesn't always make all the bad stuff go away, God's promise is to always go through the bad stuff and all of the stuff of life with us. We are never alone, not even on the days when we feel totally forsaken. Jesus didn't model an always look on the bright side of life mentality. He didn't shame himself for struggling. He didn't tell himself to buck up and get over the pain. He didn't listen to his friends telling him he was being silly or overreacting. Instead, he chose to do time spending time doing things that would help him manage the anxiety and pain. He ate with his beloveds. He had honest conversations about what was going on with him. He participated in rituals. He spent time with God. Our society is constantly telling us to look on the bright side of life. It's constantly encouraging us to put on a happy, picture-perfect face, to pretend things are fine even when so often they are not. That is not what Jesus modeled for us. Jesus modeled living authentically. He modeled being gentle with ourselves. He modeled the importance of community, of allowing others to shoulder our burdens with us. What are the ways in which you already follow Jesus' example when you're facing hard times? And what are some of the ways you could walk more closely with him? I hope that you'll spend some time paying attention to the usual patterns you follow when you're suffering. And listen for Jesus' voice calling you to grow in his likeness, so that when the difficult days of life come, because they always do, you can follow his lead in approaching them with grace for yourself, grace with each other, and grace for God. Blessings as you go from here, my friends. May God's grace and peace surround you today and always. Take good care.